Well, good evening, everyone. It's a joy to see you here tonight, and thank you for coming out for our special evening of church fellowship centered around times of praise and times of testimony and just celebrating our communion with Christ together. And these are always special evenings when we get to spend them together like this, as we get to recount and rejoice in the character of redemption and the help of the Lord that He's been showing us as His children, and to recount all the various ways we've seen His glorious hand at work. The psalmist gives us a picture of how to do this in Psalms 71, 22 through 24, where the psalmist writes, if I can get there, I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long, for they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. I just want you to notice from these opening verses all the different means and motives that are available to us during times of praise and testimony. Different means and motives that make this call to praise the Lord extend to all of us who are here tonight. First, I just want you to listen to briefly to all the different means and ways to worship and praise that are given in these verses. The psalmist says, I will praise you with the harp. I will praise you with the lyre. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. My tongue will talk of your righteous help. So there you have the harp, the lyre, you have singing, you have talking. All of these different ways to praise the Lord are mentioned. And so I think about the body of Christ when I come across the passage like that and say some of you, and think that some of you can play an instrument. And praise the Lord in doing that tonight. Some still more of you can sing, so praise the Lord in doing that tonight. And all of us, praise God, last time I looked, can talk who are here tonight. So praise the Lord in doing that tonight as well. This call to worship and praise and to give testimony to all the Lord's goodness extends even to you tonight. And we see that with all the different means to worship mentioned in these verses, whether it be by an instrument or by singing or by talking. And this call to worship extends to you also because of all the different motives or reasons to worship and give testimony to God tonight. The first motivation that's mentioned in these verses to praise and give testimony to the Lord is the Lord's virtues. The psalmist says in Psalm 71, 22, I will also praise you with the harp. Why? For your faithfulness, he says. Oh my God, I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. So there the psalmist praises God and gives testimony to God's faithfulness and his holiness. God's virtues alone are reason to testify and to praise him. Have you ever seen a glorious mountain range or maybe a beautiful sunset among the clouds and just looked at it and said, wow? Well, listen, Psalms 36 verse 5 says, your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds, your righteousness is like the mountains of God, your judgments are like the great deep. In other words, they should cause us, when we see the glory of the Lord and understand it in truth, it should cause us to say, wow, to testify to it with our mouths. If the angels in heaven can cry out day and night, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and cover their eyes, crying out, the whole earth is full of His glory. If God's sheer character alone is worthy of awestruck repetition in heaven, then His character is worthy of being recounted by you here tonight in testimony. And so you might be looking around at your circumstances and say, I don't really know how I can praise the Lord tonight. Well, look at your God and praise Him for who He is then. If you have tasted and seen that the Lord is good, then you should tell of His goodness from day to day, including tonight. So you should give voice to His virtues. The second motivation that the psalmist gives in these verses to praise and give testimony to the Lord is the Lord's victories. The psalmist says, my soul also will rejoice, which you have redeemed. Verse 24, and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. The psalmist says here that he is going to praise the Lord because of the Lord's eternal and timeless and timely victories. So first, the Lord's eternal victory on his behalf was a reason why he praised the Lord. He says, my soul also you have redeemed. That is something to praise the Lord and to testify of tonight. You have purchased me back from the slave market of sin by your own blood, and you have made me your very own. Tonight, if that is true, then that is your testimony and your motivation to praise the Lord, his eternal victory on your behalf. Redeemed, how I love to what? Proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed by his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Can I just say, one of the greatest encouragements to my life was when I was a summer intern out in a church in New Jersey, small little place, and there was this older gentleman that every Wednesday night, when they asked for a time of praise and testimony, would always say, I want to praise the Lord that I have been redeemed. We should never get over what we have experienced, the eternal victory that the Lord has won on our behalf. Redeemed, we should love to proclaim it. So give voice to his eternal victory tonight. And second, give voice to the Lord's timely victories on your behalf as well. The psalmist says, my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. God helps us all the day long. He is our ever-present help in time of trouble. He daily bears us up. And if you're experiencing his daily help and strength, then that is your testimony and your motivation for praise tonight. His timely victories that he is giving you every day on the way to glory. So give voice to his victories, both eternal and timely. Give voice to his virtues, give voice to his victories. And then the third and final motivation to praise and give testimony to the Lord tonight is the Lord's vindications. The psalmist says, my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. Why? For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. See, the psalmist gives praise to the Lord here because he has been vindicated and protected from his enemies, from those who sought to do him harm. There are three great enemies to the believer: the world, the flesh, and the devil, all of which seek to draw us away from the God we love. And yet in Christ Jesus, all three are daily being put to shame and disappointed through him who has made us more than conquerors, through him who loves us. That in spite of it all, we can say, here I am tonight, by the grace of God still believing and still being held fast. And so if the Lord has been vindicating you and protecting you from sin and the snares of the devil and unbelief and has been drawing you consistently back to himself, if that is true, then that is your testimony and your motivation to praise the Lord tonight. It is his vindication. Through instruments, through songs, through testimonies, let's all give voice tonight to the Lord's virtues, victories, and vindications. And so tonight's service is designed to give us a chance to do that very thing. Our service is very simple. If you've been here before, you're familiar with it. We're going to sing a song together. Then we're going to have a 10-minute time of testimony. We're going to do this three times, with each time of song and testimony taking on a different focus. During our first time of testimony, we focus on Christ being our shepherd. We share accounts about how the Lord has led us in unique ways throughout our lives. Then during our second time of testimony, we're going to consider Christ as our vine, share testimonies of how he's given us strength and grace to make it through moments in life. And then finally, during our third time of testimony, we're going to focus on Christ as the door and share testimonies of how Christ has saved us and brought us to himself. And those are just designed to help you think of ways you can praise the Lord tonight. If your category doesn't quite match what we've designed, share it anyway. We'd love to hear it, and we are called to do it from Scripture. And so this time of testimony is going to lead right into a celebration of communion together as a conclusion to this evening's service. And so with that in mind, let's begin it all with prayer, and then we'll have our opening song. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have equipped us to praise you and to testify to your great name tonight. Father, we thank you that that you have given us, our church body, the gifts and the skills of being able to play instruments. We pray that the music that is played tonight would be for your honor and for your glory. We thank you, Father, that for many of us, you've given us the skill of singing. And so, Father, help us to testify to your truth through our songs tonight. And Father, for all of us, you have given us the gifts and ability to speak, to talk of your wondrous works. And so help us to do that tonight as a church as well. And Father, we just thank you that you have shown us your glory, your virtues. You have redeemed us by your blood, by the victory that Christ has won on our behalf, and you daily vindicate us and hold us fast against the attacks and snares of the devil. And so, Father, for all these things, we want to praise you and give you the honor and the glory as we come to our time of communion tonight. So just bless our time together, Father, we pray. By your Spirit, work within us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So as a reminder, Jesus gives us this wonderful statement in John chapter 10 where he says, "I am the good shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus is our great shepherd, the great shepherd of his sheep, and he leads us along paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Jesus knows his own, and he calls his own, and he leads his own faithfully throughout this life and on into glory. And so we want to open up this first time of testimony, directing your hearts and minds to Christ as our shepherd, and take the next few moments to share accounts of how the Lord has led you in unique ways throughout your life. And we will open this testimony up for 10 minutes, and then we will sing our next song. So let's share some testimonies about Christ as our shepherd.
Love for me that he has communicates to my heart and soul. I praise him for forgiving me for so much, for all my sin. I praise him for his friendship. I praise him that he's always there for me, no matter what. He's my friend. He gives me love for his wonderful word. And he is the strength of my life. When I'm down, he always gives me hope. He's always there for me. I praise him for his great glory and beauty of his person. And I thank him that someday he's going to come and take me back to be with him.
Well, I wanted to say, 11 years ago, a little over 11 years ago, I bought my house south of Urbana and knew nobody in this area. Just to see the Lord's providential hand leading me in this area, getting to know all of you guys coming to this church, really not even knowing anybody at church either, to look back at, I mean, all of you, all the relationships that I have with all of you, it's just such a blessing to see how the Lord's worked in my life personally and seeing him work in all of your lives. As I've just grown in this church, been able to serve more, serve different members, serve the kids ministry, even for Beck and Ida, go up this morning and look forward to just hanging out with the kids. It's just been so great to see our body grow and to be a part of that.
I've just been reading through the Bible again, and I was reading Jeremiah this morning and just thinking about my life and everything that's happened in it, and looking back and how God moved in my life, and I never knew it. And so we can be very boastful and prideful. And so it's just from Jeremiah 9:23. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. So just focusing more on trying to be conscious of what he's doing in my life and giving him praise and the glory for all those things, because it's nothing that I do. It's all him.
This passage, Psalm 23, has been very special to me this past week especially, and we've just been going through a lot in our family, and it's ongoing and never ending, and things just keep hitting. And it's so neat to see how Jesus is my shepherd, and he gently leads me, and he gives me just the right thing at just the right time. He has someone send a text, or he has a podcast pop up on my feed, or just the thing that I need to hear just at that moment. And I'm trying to trust him and just take one step at a time, and just trusting that he will continue to lead me. I'm just very thankful for that.
probably 3 years ago. I think, 3 years ago tomorrow, actually, one of my friends, well, 3 years ago, one of my friend's dads passed away. His birthday is tomorrow, so it's coming up quite a bit this week. Was talking to her about it again last night and was encouraged by her words from a couple years ago. And she said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Our hope is the resurrection. And so it reminds me of Psalm 79:13, even in light of this. But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever from generation to generation. We will recount your praise. And we have a God who's worthy to be praised, and because our hope is the resurrection.
That was on Groundhog's Day in 2009. So that just reminded me that, you know, at that time, talking about God leading you, I hadn't planned on that. And I passed it off as just, well, just one of those things, you know, it passed. Well, I had another one 5 years later. So that reminds me that God leads me even when, well, Proverbs 35 and 6, you know, lean not in all your ways, you know, acknowledge God. Well, sometimes we don't always acknowledge him. He still leads in his way. He's waiting for us to come back to his plan. So it took my second heart attack, I guess, to finally get my attention, kind of. But, you know, it's his leading. It's not always the way that I planned it. So, and the end result was I did find a buyer for my business, and I was able to retire, and I'm still here, you know. So I just praise him for that.
Testimony that just kind of shows how the Lord shepherds your own heart and emotions. Sometimes, you know, I see within me a tendency in my heart to go towards anxiety and discouragement. And Psalms 43 addresses that, and it gives a good testimony of how the Lord has been good to me in these ways, where the psalmist says, "Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people from the deceitful and unjustful man. Deliver me." I'm kind of reading into that a little bit, but I'm thinking he probably was a little anxious in those situations where he was surrounded by enemies. And then he says, "For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" You can feel his discouragement that's there. And then it says this in verse 3, "Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." And I just want to testify how the Lord has been faithful to his promises, that when I feel the impulses of my heart to go towards anxiety or discouragement in those ways, when I have sought the Lord, the glory of his person and the light of his truth, he leads me to himself and he brings me back to my exceeding joy in himself. And I just thank you. I just thank him for how he is faithful in shepherding my wandering, anxious, discouraged heart continually back to him. And so I just want to give him the praise for that. Well, it's been 10 minutes, so let's sing our next song, and then we'll have our next time of testimony. Jesus says in John 15:5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing." Christ is our life, and he is working in us both to will and to do his good pleasure. As Philippians 4:13 states, because Christ strengthens us, we can do anything he asks of us. And so for this next time of testimony, we'd like you to consider Christ as the vine. Share some accounts of how he has strengthened you through certain moments in your life. Again, we'll do this for about 10 minutes of testimony and then sing our next song. So let's share some testimonies of how is God giving us strength and grace in life.
I have two. First of all, I think a couple times ago when we had this, we were in the midst of Ellie being at training in Cincinnati, and I was thankful for all the Lord had been doing to strengthen us during that time. And so I just want to say on the other side of that, we're even more thankful. Just in the year of transition we had, from graduating in May to starting here full-time to Ellie going to start the military in July, and then I started PhD in August, and then she went down to Cincy in September, and then Christmas. And so it was just a lot of transition, and we're just very thankful that the Lord strengthened us in that time through his word, through his church, through many of you. And so we're just very thankful for that. I think the other one that I had was last semester in my doctoral program, my first class I had was on Pauline theology. It was on Paul. And I had the opportunity to read a lot of people that are not Christians and that don't believe the Bible. And I had to read close to 12 books on, and they were not short, on this view that people have about Paul and his view of the law, that he basically teaches that you have to do the law to be saved. That's the view that they're teaching. That's very starting to be popular in academic circles. And so I was reading all of this stuff, and it was really spiritual warfare for me. I mean, I was getting angry with what I was reading. Ellie can attest to that, how I would like shut the book, and I was like, I am so angry right now with what I'm reading right now, because it's just so wrong. It's a twisting of scripture. These people hate the Bible, obviously. And I'm just thankful to the Lord that through all of that, that I didn't, and people say that, you know, education can make people unbelievers, you know, biblical education can make people unbelievers. And I was just thankful to the Lord's strength and my resolve and the conviction in his word that I was, that the testimony of the Spirit in my heart is that, no, like, this is what God's word says. And this is what God's word has clearly revealed, that this is what salvation is, and you cannot tell me otherwise. My mind is fixed on the word of God. And just very thankful for the Lord's work in that small way, and being able to even write a paper that could help me narrow those thoughts and think through things that would clarify my ability to teach against that if someone was to come in here with that kind of thinking. So just very thankful for how the Lord strengthened me through that way as well.
Well, this isn't what I was going to share, but the song we just sung just reminded me of the time that I spent at Liberty, and we would finish games with the team huddled on the 50-yard line. We would sing a chorus of that song and quote John 3:3, and it reminded me of my first roommate there. His name was Matt. Matt was this mountain of a man from Georgia, he was there to be a pastor, and the thing that stood out to me about Matt was Matt always used every opportunity he had to point to Christ. And I remember in our lifting, in our weight room sessions, we would do this really difficult, intense squat routine where you just squatted until you couldn't squat anymore, and the whole team would gather around, and so it was this high, emotional, intense moment, and Matt had 750 pounds on the bar. He's a big man. And, you know, the whole team gathers around, especially when a guy's getting ready to lift that much weight, and Matt stopped, and he turned around, and he talked about the weight of sin. And it made such an impression on me, because here's a guy that should be thinking about getting crushed by 750 pounds, but instead he uses it as an opportunity to preach to guys that he knew hadn't trusted Christ. And, you know, everybody was, of course, Matt got it. You know, that was kind of, would have been a little anticlimactic if he hadn't been able to squat 750 pounds, but he did. But the thing about Matt that was maybe most impressive is the strongest moment I ever saw in his life was I woke up one night and Matt was face down on the floor weeping before the Lord and pouring out his heart over his sin. And I thought, there's no place that you're stronger than there before the Lord, testifying to your need of a Savior and the strength that he provides. And those images have been seared in my mind, thankfully, that we're strongest when we're on our face before the Lord.
Just because it's the elephant in the room, I'm fine. Sorry. There's a lot going on in my brain, and I can't make it come out of my mouth. Since we're talking about God giving us strength, 4 years ago, I was pregnant. And the tragedy of losing our daughter racked me up pretty bad. But God gave us strength. And I feel like I never understood what it means to truly lean on God for strength until then. Because the desire to keep on going wasn't there. He really did provide that. And I'm grateful for all the things we were taught through that. Continuing to be taught through. And even now, through infertility and the tragedy that that is and the hardship that that is, every day he gives strength. He gives strength to be here at church because that's hard to do. To be surrounded by a very, very lovely group of fertile people is hard. But he gives strength in it. He brings wonderful people to help give strength. And so I praise him in that. And I was remember constantly leaning on the passage of that. It's in Psalms, and I think it's 39:18, 38:18, it's somewhere around there, and it's the classic, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit, and I really felt that truth, especially 4 years ago, and sometimes I still need to remind myself of that truth, but there we go.
Jesus said in John 10, verse 19, that I am the door. And if anyone enters by me, he will go in and out and find pasture. Jesus is the narrow gate. He is the way to the Father. He is the resurrection and the life, the one in whom we find eternal life and rest for our souls. No one comes to the Father but by him. And so for this final time of testimony, we want to reflect on Christ being the door to our salvation and share testimonies of how he drew you to himself and is continuing to draw you to himself through repentance and saving faith. We'll do this for, again, about 10 minutes, and then I'll jump up and we'll celebrate communion together as a church. So for these next few minutes, let's share testimonies of how did the Lord save you and how is he sanctifying you.
I'd like to read Romans 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. And I just am so thankful. It's I'm coming up on, Kath and I both are coming up on over almost 50 years of knowing Christ as our Lord and Savior. I know, Dan, don't look surprised. I wasn't 1 year old when I came to know the Lord. I'm a little older than that. No, but anyway, over those 50 years, we were in our mid-20s and living up around Cleveland, west of Cleveland. I was teaching up there, and Kath was working at a graphic arts place, and we were invited to this church by our friends, and God called us to himself. And, boy, it's been 50 years. I can't believe that's going by. What a joy. And how he's taught us in his word, how he's grabbed us by his Holy Spirit, and the teaching of his word here, and all of you that have encouraged us. Thank you. Praise God.
Well, I'd like to say, I was thinking of how God strengthened me moving back there, but in that, I think, knowing that God's sovereign strengthens me, and answered prayers strengthens me. And teaching me through repentance and help me to grow that way. And then how did he save me? He let my sin until I couldn't deny it anymore. There was nowhere else to go. I knew I was a sinner, and what do I do now? And then one of my friends shared the gospel with me, one that I used to run around with, and we were, you know, how we weren't very good, but he was saved before me, and then he shared the gospel with me. And I remember that day when I was saved, I understood what it meant when the curtain was torn.
This morning I finished up Exodus chapter 34, and I finished my study there in our class. And I think what kind of hits me consistently is that in Exodus chapter 34, everything that we've been talking about tonight is based upon who God is. Without his character and nature, there's just no hope for us. Without his mercies and grace. And so when I said it this morning, and I'll say it tonight, Exodus chapter 34, verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. This is our God. This is his character and his nature. This is who he is. And on the basis of who he does this work for us. We don't do it. God is the one who has done it, and God is the one who continues to do it. We live in obedience to it, in faith, hope, and trust in him, and we walk humbly before him. We like to think that we are so strong and we are so powerful, but that's just not the way it is. God is the one who does this great work, and I am very thankful for that he has done so. 1972, he intercepted me and definitely did a work, and he continues to do it. And every day, I realize, we think, the battle's won, everything's done. It'd be nice if that's the truth, because the battle is still here in my own heart and mind and life. But I'm thankful for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do even in the future. Thank you.
In Isaiah 2, it says, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem, it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall decide disputes for many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore, O house of Jacob. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Well, these are the latter days, and just reading this passage, I'm just thankful for the hope of future glory, that God's people will learn God's ways, and God's people in verse 4 and 5 will live God's ways. And I know that as God works, and he intercepted me in 1972, only in a different place, Mike, but you know, we're stubborn. We can be so stubborn, and we can be really slow learners, but God is faithful to teach his people his ways, and to work in them so that they would even have a desire to live in his ways and walk his paths. So I'm just thankful for that over the years, in spite of my hard-headedness, my stubbornness, and sometimes my rebellion. God is always faithful.
I raised my hand. My husband was like, "Are you sure you want to do this? You always cry." So I'm going to try and prove to him I won't cry. I'm going to take a little bit of a different direction with this and talk about one of the ways I'm able to serve here at Grace Chapel is on the missions committee. And that has been one of the most encouraging things for me as a member of that. So first off, if you're not serving somewhere, find somewhere to serve because it'll benefit you so much. But being a part of the missions committee and having attended the missions conference and sat through the mission Sunday school and just learned more about missions, we also recently got to go to Cross Conference, which is a missions conference for college students. It has been such a privilege to learn about how, as a church and as a Christian, we play a part in the Great Commission. And so just sitting here listening to testimonies about the salvation of those in this room, it makes me excited to think about how someday we'll hear of the testimonies of the nations and how they came to know Christ and how Grace Chapel got to be a part of that. And so if you don't think that you are a part of missions, you're wrong. You are. We're senders and we are here to support missions. And so be encouraged today that as a member of Grace Chapel, we are fulfilling the Great Commission, and someday when Christ returns, we will be able to hear of all that he has done in saving his people. I didn't cry.
I always feel guilty getting up here because then I'm ending it, and I enjoy it so much. I think of, again, Ephesians 4, where it says there's one body, one spirit, one hope, one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And these testimonies remind us of that. And that's what we get to celebrate, is this common union we share together in Christ tonight as his people through the celebration of communion, this visual reminder of Christ's death on the cross and of our common union with him.